I want to say that I certainly have enjoyed being with you in this meeting. It has been a wonderful blessing to be with your beloved pastor, who I count as among my dearest friends in the ministry. As he said, we've known each other for four more years than we can recollect, and it has been a marvelous benefit to me to know such a outstanding theologian and man of God. And I'm sure you're aware of the fact that his renown for his understanding of the scripture is nationwide and maybe even beyond that, as far as I know. But he is a prince of a man as well. His character and his gentleness reflects the gentleness of Christ. It is a great blessing to be with each one of you. Brother and Sister Price have just absolutely spoiled Brother and Sister Cook and I from the time they picked us up. And I wish I could take them home with me so they could keep on taking care of me. But I hope that you will know how grateful I am to all of you for the invitation to come and for the wonderful hospitality that I've enjoyed here. Some years ago, my dad, many of you may remember him, was following Elder Ronald Lawrence. And the Lord just opened the windows of heaven and blessed Brother Ronald to preach in such a mighty and wonderful way that whenever... And there was a brother on the front bench that was just every few minutes saying, "Amen." Hey, he was just on the mountaintop. "Amen." Everything Brother Ronald would say, he'd say, "Amen." You know, he just take carried away with the message. And so it was my dad's turn, and Dad got up and said, "You know, the Lord's so wonderfully blessed Brother Ronald, this would just be a good time to quit and say amen." And this brother said, "Amen." I feel that way after following Brother Cook. The Lord blessed him with a glorious message, and I hope that it was as much a blessing to you as it was to me. I hope that many of you will make your plans to visit us at Salem in the city of Natchez, Mississippi, on the Mississippi River. We would be so grateful to have you come and visit with us if you, for some reason, found yourself in that part of the country. We would be so very thankful to have you worship with us. I want to draw your attention to the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." If the Lord help me in the few minutes I have before you, I want to speak to you concerning seeking the Lord. It is because of the great misinformation about the condition of man and the position of God. There have been many who have suggested that this verse is encouraging a person who doesn't have eternal life, who's dead in sin, which is the state of man before the new birth, as you know, to seek the Lord, that the Lord's given him a window of opportunity to get saved, and if he does that, then the Lord will save him. But the problem with that is that the Bible specifically tells us that there is none that seeketh after God. You remember Paul in Romans chapter 3, quoting from Psalm 14, points out the fact that man in his natural condition are all condemned, whether Jew or Gentile, that is, Jew or non-Jew. In other words, everybody is condemned before God, as it is written. And this is, when you see that expression, "as it is written," it means it's somewhere in the Old Testament. You can find it, and it's Psalm 14. "As it is written, there is none righteous, No, not one. You say, well, wait a minute, now I can think of some really good people. No, in God's sight, there's not one righteous person. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So notice that he says there is none that seeketh after God. Man in his depraved condition before the new birth will not and cannot seek God. It's not just a matter of the will. You know, man before he's born again doesn't have a will. He has a will not. Shew favor to the wicked and he will not learn righteousness. Okay, so it's not a matter of will, but it's also a matter of ability. You remember Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. There, you can't see God, you can't hear God, and you can't the message of God, and the message does not enter your heart because you have a heart of stone. Your heart is impervious to feeling, to emotion, or to the reception of anything outside of it, just like a rock. You know, rain can fall on a rock and it just drains off of it, right? So understand that you and I and all humanity before the new birth are in that condition. So it would be a waste of time for any man claiming to be a minister of the gospel to get up and say, now, sinner friend, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to get saved, if you want to be born again, seek the Lord while he may be found. I hope, you know, that's clear enough, isn't it? It's easy to understand. It's not hard to understand. It's people don't want to believe it. Because what does that do? It leaves your destiny in the hands of God. Think about that for just a moment. You do not decide whether you go to heaven or hell. God makes that decision. All men, you say, well, that doesn't seem fair. What if somebody wants to go to heaven, but God won't let them? There's no such person. Because the want to go came from the new birth. It's God that worketh in you to will. The desire to be with the Lord, the desire to be with the Lord's people, comes from God. Brother Cook so beautifully preached on heaven and how wonderful that it is. And I so was thankful that he didn't quit before he said, the greatest thing about heaven is you will see him face to face. So I don't want to belabor that point, but I hope that you understand that this is not an invitation to a dead sinner to get eternal life. Because the Lord must reveal himself in the new birth to any man that knows him. You remember Paul said, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God. The only way you can know God is if he first knew you. What does John say? We love him because he first loved us. Your eternal destiny, you say, well, it doesn't seem fair that some get to go to heaven, some don't. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. God is sovereign. There's nowhere in the scripture where he says, I hope you approve. I hope it'll be all right with you. But the glorious thing about election is not that it leaves anybody out. It's that it includes a multitude that would never have been in. You understand that? We were all deserving to go to the lake of fire. All of us deserve that in nature. I just read to you from Romans 3. It's clear that their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongue that is used to seat, the poison of asp is under their lips. Their words are deadly, in other words. The poison of a snake, the poison of asp is under their lips. And the way of peace have they not known. You know why the world can't find peace? They can't know because they do not have the ability to find it. Jesus is the only source of true peace. So understand that this text is not talking to someone who doesn't know God, inviting them to come to know God. God, the only people that know God is he to whom God reveals himself. The only people going to heaven are the people that God chose to go to heaven. You understand that? That's how sovereign God is. I've heard people say, well, God looked down through time and saw who would choose him, and he chose them. The problem with that is Psalm 14. God did look down from heaven, and he saw that there was none that understood. There was none that sought him. They are all together become, they've all together. You know when we all together became unprofitable? In the Garden of Eden. When Adam and disobeyed God, we were in Adam. We all were together in Adam, and we all died in him. So God, being a merciful God, who's not obligated to save anybody, chose a number that no man can number, as innumerable as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. And I contend with any one who would suggest the gospel is involved in regeneration to tell you that that is a far greater number than I've ever heard the gospel. It is a people out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Election embraces a greater multitude of people than the gospel could ever embrace. You understand that? Salvation is not by religion, it's by grace.
Amen.
Okay. So we all got that part right. So what does he mean, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? Well, the first thing to do when you're reading the Bible is, who's the Lord talking to? Is he talking to the Hittites, Hivites, Amorites, Jebusites, Canaanites, Egyptians, the Babylonians? He's talking to his people. They're already his people before he ever says this to him. And I'm telling you that by the electing grace of God, by the redemptive blood of Jesus, and by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty has already given you eternal life before he ever says this to you. You say, well, that was Old Testament Israel. Well, that is an allegory of the New Testament age. What happened to natural Israel physically is a picture of spiritual Israel. And so you understand that whenever the Lord is speaking to physical Israel, it is a metaphor for the fact that this invitation is to the spiritual Israel of God. As the Apostle Paul would say, peace be upon you and upon the Israel of God. There's an Israel that's not of God, is not he that is a Jew outwardly, but he that is a Jew inwardly. Circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You know why the praise goes to God and not men? Because only God can operate on the heart, spiritually. Only God can circumcise the heart. Only God can give eternal life to the heart. Man cannot do that. Man can do that physically. But the rabbi can do that physically, but he cannot do that spiritually. Therefore, God gets all the glory. If your heart has been made new, it was by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. You with me? And so you may be a natural Gentile, a non-Jew, but spiritually you are a Jew. You are a spiritual Jew, a spiritual Israelite, and part of the Israel of God. You with me? So these words are spoken to you. You're already his children. You're not trying to become his child. You are his child by grace. God is saying to his children, seek me. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Now, how does a person, before they're born again, seek the Lord? They can, as we already said. But once a person is born again, they are given the opportunity to seek the Lord, not that they might get eternal life, but because they have it. Mm-hmm. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's another point I want to get to, and that is there is an opportunity here that can go away. Mm-hmm. Okay? God is long-suffering, but he will not always strive with man. Keep that thought in as we go forward. Here's what I want you to see. When the Lord told his people, seek me, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near, though that invitation is echoed by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7. Listen to what the Lord says. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. A dead sinner can't seek, ask, or knock. This is a child of God who's asking, seeking, and knocking. He says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a serpent, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, he's already your heavenly Father, you catch that? How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them, that good things to them that ask him? And Luke records it as giving the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I need the Holy Spirit this morning. I need the Spirit to preach. You need the Spirit to receive the message. We need the Spirit to sing, to pray, to worship, right? Amen. We need to ask for the Spirit to bless us. All right, so again, here is an invitation to you. You as part of the family of God by grace, an invitation is to you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Now, some people would say, well, I can't see that. If it's all sovereignty, why is this invitation given? What is the Lord telling you to seek? Is he saying seek eternal life? Seek heaven? No, he's saying seek me. You with me? Seek me. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must, what? Believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will reward the child of God that diligently seeks him. Paul is telling you two things. See, the atheist says there is no God. So if you're gonna seek the Lord, you've got to believe, first of all, that he is. And the only way you can believe that is by faith, right? Seek ye the Lord. If you're seeking God, you must believe that he is. The atheist, the agnostic, the wicked, they say there is no God. That's what leads to the corrupt behavior that is in the world. On the other hand, the child of God, God has revealed himself unto them. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11? He says, no man knoweth the Father save the Son. And no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The only people that know God are the people that he's revealed himself unto, right? Right. You and I do know God today simply because you may not know much about God, but you know him. You know, a newborn baby knows its mother. It doesn't know its address. It doesn't know its mother's name. It doesn't know its mother's personal preferences. It doesn't know anything about its mother's history. But it does know its mother, right? And if you know God, you may not know much about him, but I'm happy to tell you, you'll have eternity to catch up. But the point is that if you know him, you may not know a lot about him, but if you know him, it's because he made himself known to you in the new birth. He revealed his son in you. So when Paul says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, you must first be a believer, and that he is a rewarder. On one hand, the atheist says there is no God. On the other hand, the fatalist says he doesn't reward. There's no such thing as rewards. It's all fixed and predestinated, and you can't be anything the way that it is. It has to be just like God predestinated to happen. Do you know predestination appears in the Bible four times and never refers to events but only people?
That's right.
God intervenes providentially, but God Almighty does not predetermine you to do wrong. He doesn't predestinate you to sin and then turn around and punish you for committing that sin. Right?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Brother Michael always says, right? You know? And that's to elicit a response. Anyway, the point is that whether atheist or fatalist, they're both wrong. God is, and he rewards those that diligently seek him. But what's the reward? What is the reward for seeking God? You say, well, I don't know. He'll make me healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. There's plenty of false prophets out there that'll tell you that. Is that the reward? You say, well, You know, he'll give me good health. He'll give me a big family. He'll give me a big job. I'll prosper. I'll have everything that heart could desire. If I just obey him, if I seek him, that's what the Lord will give me. You completely missed the truth if you believe that. This blessing is far superior to anything the world has to offer. Listen carefully. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 5 says, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." When you're searching the scripture, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the best way to argue the doctrine of the resurrection? Are you looking for him? You remember whenever Abraham came back from the slaughter of the kings and rescuing Lot from being kidnapped, and he returns, and when all of that is over and he successfully returned Lot to his place, and he goes back to the mountains where he lives. You know, Lot lived on the flat plain in the valley, and Abraham lived on mountains. You know, Abraham was the friend of God. Lot did anything but live for God. But you know, they're both in heaven by the grace of God. But one man's life is a dishonor to the name of God, and another man's life is an honor to the name of God. And when Abraham returned from rescuing Lot, he walked out, and the Bible tells you that God appeared to Abraham and said this, "Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." It's me. I'm the reward. You with me? It's not health. It's not wealth. It's not prosperity. I mean, listen, I hope you are healthy, and I hope you are wealthy, and I hope you are prospering, and I hope you'll share some of it with me. But that is so trivial and trite and pathetically small compared to the reward that God has for his people. The reward is him. Many years ago, I was sitting at my desk studying, trying to figure out some scriptures to prove a point. And the Lord spoke to me, to my heart. You know how it is when the Lord speaks to you. You don't have to have anybody say, "Was that the Lord?" He speaks to your heart. He speaks to your soul. And you know exactly what he said. And he said to me, "It's me. It's me. You need to look for me." And I'm telling you that the promise here is that God has made to you, that if you seek him while he may be found, God will not always strive with his children. The opportunity to have fellowship with him is given, but it's not always there. You remember the Song of Solomon? You remember whenever the bridegroom, when the bridegroom comes to visit her? You know, the bridegroom, I don't have time to get into it, but the bridegroom is a type of Christ, and the woman is a type of the church, his bride. Okay? And he comes to visit. You remember the Bible tells you that he knocks at the door, he sticks his hand through the hole of the door, he leaves the fragrance of his presence behind, and what does he say? "Open to me. Open the door to me. I want to come in and fellowship with you." What does she say? "I'm already in bed. I've already washed my feet. How can I get up again?" You know what she's saying? "It's too much trouble." How many times have you missed out on fellowship with God because it was too much trouble? You know, I learned a long time ago that people do what they want to do as long as they're able. I know there are people that would love to be at this meeting that aren't physically able to get here. I'm not talking about them. But you know, if you're physically able to do something and you want to do it, you'll do it. You'll find a way to do it. And if God has given you the desire to fellowship with him, you need to make the way to do it. He says, "Open to me." She says, "I can. It's too much trouble to get up. I don't want to get my feet dirty again." You know, they had a dirt floor. And so what happens? He leaves. He leaves. He's not standing there tenderly pleading and begging for her to let him in. You know, he's not indulging her slothfulness. He leaves. Well, then she kind of comes to herself and she jumps up and goes to the door, but he's gone. Does that mean he's no longer her husband? Does that mean that hell is her home? Does that mean that because she didn't get up and take advantage of the opportunity? No, she missed out on an opportunity to fellowship with her husband.
Amen.
She didn't miss heaven. She didn't miss eternal life. She missed an opportunity to fellowship with her husband. And by the way, you know what she thinks about this man? She said, he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. Isn't that just a perfect description of Christ?
Yes.
Everything about him is lovely. And so, what happens? She goes out looking for him into the street. She's not worried about getting her feet dirty now. She's running down the road. And she's trying to find him. Have you ever had that experience? Well, you felt the Holy Spirit inviting you to spend time in your Bible, to spend time in communion and fellowship with him, but you didn't have time. You had to get to the football field. You had to get to the soccer field. You had to get to work. You had to go to the grocery store. You just didn't have time. Lord, come back later. But you know what? God Almighty's not begging. He's not pleading. God Almighty is God. And whenever she doesn't answer, he leaves. And she, what happened? She now is trying to find him, but she can't. And a terrible thing happens to her while she's looking for him. She's in the street. She's in the street. And what happens? The watchman assault her. The watchman beat her up. I tell you, I've known many a child of God who was seeking peace and fellowship with their Savior, who fell into the hands of legalistic preachers who beat them to death with legalism. And I've seen the battered and bruised emotional scars that are left behind by men who say, you need to pray more, you hadn't prayed enough, you need to persevere, you hadn't put enough effort in. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, God Almighty saw what these watchmen did, and they answered to him. I don't have time to get on that. I'll get mad. But I will tell you this, a grave responsibility for the minister of the gospel, the watchman of the city, is to stand upon the walls and say to the bride of Christ, your husband, your Savior, your heavenly Father, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, he approaches. Instead, many a child of God has been beaten with the cane of legalism and left in the street. Oh, child of God, how sad. But isn't it wonderful that God Almighty doesn't hold a grudge? God Almighty is not unforgiving. He is so merciful that what happens? The husband finds her. What did the Lord say? I am found of them that sought me not. How do you find How do you find someone that you're not looking for when they find you, right? I am found of them that sought me not. I am known of a nation that did not know me. In other words, God Almighty has revealed himself to us that did not previously know him in the Old Testament age. And child of God, if you know the Lord today, if he's revealed himself to you, it wasn't because you went looking for him, it's because he came looking for you. And in his mercy, if you've been guilty of saying, Lord, later, when I get time, when I get my children educated, whenever I make enough money, then I'll start going to church and I'll start. If you've ever been guilty of such, or if you've ever put off sitting down with your Bible and meditating, you know, over there in the book of Revelation where the Lord is knocking on the door, he's not knocking on the door to a dead sinner's heart. The dead sinner couldn't get up to answer the door even if he was. He's knocking on the door to the church. And what is he saying? That if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. You know what that simply means? It means you stop and you ask the Lord to come in. And he said, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You know what sup means? It means it's the root of supper. Now, I'm sure in California, it's very unsophisticated to use the word supper. I'm sure that people mock and make fun of us old Baptists for using the word supper. But it wasn't the last dinner. You know why that word supper is not just an ignorant southern word? It's a biblical word that has a tremendous meaning. Sup is the root of supper. You know what supper is? It's whenever a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, and children sit around the table around a common meal. And they say, what happened to you today? What did you experience today? Is there something you need to share? Did you have a good day? Or did something bad happen to you today? You're around people that love you and are here to support you. Tell us how you're doing. You're communing over the meal. You see that? And what is the privilege? You're part of a family. You, child of God, are part of God's family. You say, well, what's the meal? If you'll hurry up and shut up, we'll go eat it. No, it's not a physical meal. It's the Word of God. When you sit down and you open that book and you invite the Lord, you ask the Lord to come and sup with you, he said, I'll come and sup with you and you can sup with me. Isn't that a glorious thought? Here's the husband communing over a common meal, the Word of God. And when you're reading it, the Holy Spirit will open it up to you. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scriptorian. All you've got to do is have a King James Bible, a good King James Bible, and sit down and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you will commune with Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. It was as simple as her getting up and going to the door and opening it. It's just as simple as taking out of your busy day and spending time with the Lord over the Word of God. I promise you, you'll never regret a moment of it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Don't put off the opportunity to fellowship with him. Every time the church door is open, be here. You say, well, I've been to church, didn't get anything out of it. Well, you know what you do? You come back. One time many years ago, I was with a minister friend of mine, dear minister friend of mine in those days. We were up in the mountains of West Virginia, and it was August. And then we were in a little frame building with no air conditioning. There was no breeze. It was stagnant air in between two mountains in a valley. And the building was packed with people. Now, I had had enough sense to sit up next to one of those open windows. I did have that much sense. But people were suffering physically just because of the oppressive heat and because there was no breeze, there was no air conditioning, there was no convenience other than just the heat and humidity. And this man was up, and it was obvious he didn't know a thing about what he was saying. He was using a rhythm in his preaching that obscured anything he might have said well. And I looked out over that congregation, and some of them have those old-timey fans. Maybe you've seen that before, that the funeral homes used to give out in southern churches. They're trying to fan. Or Elder J.R. Wilson in Virginia used to say, keep fanning, the more you fan, the hotter you'll get. And I looked at my friend in those days, and I said to him, I said, why do they keep coming back? Why do they keep coming back? Whenever they get here, they're packed in here like sardines. They can't hardly breathe for the stifling heat. And this man is beating the air. That's a biblical expression, by the way. Beating the air. Why? And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, because they keep hoping the next guy can preach. Isn't that the truth? Somebody said, why did you fly 2,000 miles? Why did Brother Cook fly 3,000 miles? Why do you do that? Why do Primitive Baptists go the furthest? You know, they say, well, they go the furthest to hear the least. No, they go the furthest to hear the most. Why do you do that? Because there is an experience. and hearing the gospel, assuring you of your salvation and glorifying your heavenly Father, there's a communion of the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that cannot be found in the mountains, on the beach, or in any place on this earth other than in the house of God. I've got 2 minutes left. I want to give you some food for thought. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It didn't say seek it only. The Lord is not telling you can't go make a living. It doesn't tell you can't raise your hand. It says seek it first. Let nothing come ahead of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things the world has will be added to you. Everything you need. I'm living proof of that. But the Apostle Paul will tell you in the Hebrew letter on the great faith chapter, he says, by faith, Abraham, his descendants, they sought a country, but it wasn't a physical country, because they said this, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they that say such things clearly show that they seek a better country, that is a heavenly. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like a stranger in this world? Do you feel like this world doesn't understand you? You don't understand them? Do you feel like a pilgrim? You have a sense that this is not all there is. There's something beyond this life. As Brother Cook so beautifully proclaimed, that's what's waiting for us on the other side. They that say such things, that I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. If you've ever had that in your heart, I'm a stranger, nobody understands me. I've tried to tell people about salvation by grace and they get confused or mad or look at me like I've lost my mind. I tried to tell them about going to a primitive Baptist church. And they're like, what? Primitive? Primitive, you know. You know, by the way, if that name bothers you, remember there were badger skins on the outside of the temple. The beauty was on the inside. And the people that passed by thought, what in the world could those Israelites possibly have on the other side of those badger skins? Those sunburnt skins of a badger. What they didn't know is what was inside that temple. The glorious beauty that was there. And there are people that pass by and see the name and they think, good night. What could those people possibly... But they don't know what's inside, do they? When the Lord is present. So I ask you today, do you have the sense in your heart that you're a stranger and a pilgrim passing through? Do you have the desire to be in the place that this brother described so ably ahead of me today? That means you're a child of God. That means you've been born again by sovereign grace. That means that heaven is your home. Not because of that, but that's what produced the desire. That's what produced those emotions and feelings within you of being a stranger and a pilgrim and a desire to be with your husband. So remember this. It's fine to search the Bible and search the concordance to bolster up a doctrinal truth. But the purpose of it is seeking him. Yes. It's him. It's him. It's him. May God bless you, was my prayer. Amen.